Let's just read the text and then we'll look at our missions in Northbrook. Our combined and must be one. So we're looking at the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read verses 18 through 20 of the 28th chapter. Matthew 28, 18. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We give you thanks for your word, that we have the privilege and honor to be able to read your word, to carry it with us, to hide it in our hearts, and to live it out in our lives. Lord, as we read your word this morning, and as I preach your word, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon me, that I might speak it in power and in truth, that your people here would hear your words of truth. And Lord, anything that is of me and of man and not of God would not be spoken and would fall on deaf ears. But Lord, that each kernel of your truth that you would lay out before your people this morning, might it be taken up and taken in, and might it grow to bear fruit in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you've probably all have heard this passage before, probably on numerous occasions. I know I've preached it multiple times. In fact, I'm trying to think of a year that went by where I didn't preach it at least once, and I can't. In 20 years of preaching, I've preached it at least once a year, usually more than that. Why? What's so important about this passage? We refer to it as the Great Commission. It's really why the church exists. We look at each of the Gospels, there is a Great Commission passage. We look at the book of Acts, there is a Great Commission passage. When we look at the epistles, it's all about fulfilling the Great Commission. That's the meat of what's going on in much of the New Testament, is fulfilling the Great Commission. The whole book of Acts is all about that. Now we look at the Great Commission here, and we need to, again, as usual, you want to break it down a little bit. What is it saying? What does it say, right? Therefore, go. We're often told that the best way to interpret that is as we're going through life. So it's not like, oh, pack my bags and I go. It's like some do. Not saying that that's bad. But this is meant for everybody, that as we're going through life, this is what we're supposed to be doing. And what is the command that we're given? That thing as we're going through life is to make disciples. Making disciples. We're told how that's done. That's through baptizing and teaching them to obey. What is baptism? That's a public profession. So it's that confession and profession of faith. It's then learning to obey and follow the will of God. That's discipling. But there's also that little passage, those two words here. All nations. This is who's supposed to be discipled. Who is it that we're supposed to make disciples of? All nations. So who's excluded from that group? It's pretty encompassing, isn't it? Anybody here not of a nation? Please raise your hand. Not of a people group. You're all people, right? Now we have, from time to time in history, tried to denigrate some groups of people and say that they're not really people. This way we don't have to give them the benefits of the gospel. But that's just not true. All people are worthy of the gospel. All people are worthy of receiving the gospel, not because they are worthy, but because God gave the gospel to them as a gift. And it's our job to be gift givers. That's what we're called to do, to be distributing those gifts. Anybody ever been the one at Christmas or at a birthday party or something that gets to hand out all the gifts? This is what we get to do. It's a good thing. It's a blessing. And it's really, ultimately, why the church exists as a group. To make disciples of all nations. Okay. That's what the gospel is about. This is what the Great Commission is. We combine this with Northbrook. Who are we? Well, we're this part of the church that meets here in this location that has the distinct service, purpose statement of serving our neighbors with Christ's love. We've looked at love and said love is selfless, loyal, benevolent, concern for the well-being of another person. We've looked around and said that my neighbor is the one that I run into that is coming into problems or difficulties in their life that I need to specifically seek to serve them out. To serve them as we reach out into the community. We need to take the good news to those who don't have it. Okay. So Northbrook. How do we do that? Well, we are blessed by having three particular ministries that are closely tied with Northbrook that we actually rotate through each quarter, and we highlight one ministry each month. Now, we have people here at this church who have done short-term mission trip. Pastor John, you ever been on a short-term mission trip? Ever taken any of your kids on a short-term mission trip? Mm-hmm. Few of us here have done short-term missions trips. That's good. Is that the only thing we can do? No. Anybody here ever give the Great Commission Fund? Do we talk about the Great Commission Fund around here? Yes, we do. Do we encourage people to give? Yes, we do. Well, what does that do? The Great Commission Fund is the way that the Christian Mission Alliance, the group that we are affiliated with, where we're tied to, supports missionaries, people with that title, and credit out. Okay. But the Great Commission Fund is how we support overseas workers and also church planting here in the U.S. We often forget about that. At the point, we think the missions is just overseas. No, missions, I've got some that would disagree with me. I've had this argument with professors, but missions is taking the gospel to is cross-culturally. If I'm taking the gospel cross-culturally, I'm doing missions. Some people think you can only do that overseas. That's not true. Not anymore. Particularly not in the culture that we live in, the world that we live in today. It used to be that everybody who lived around me lived in my own culture. Yesterday, again, as I was working on my new storm door, I had my neighbor four houses down walk up to me. He's from Ethiopia. Just came up and introduced himself. He's a Christian brother. Isn't that exciting? And he was quizzing me to make sure that I was a Christian. Okay? Now, here we, the world that we live in. Again, in 1980, Brooklyn Center was 98% white. And most of those were of the same flavor of white. Because white isn't all the same. I mean, as you know, Dan Pumula will tell you that Finns are entirely different than Swedes. They're not the same. And my German ancestors and my English and Irish ancestors will tell you that there's differences. And my Norwegian ancestors will tell you, Pastor, you get kind of a mutt. Yeah. I got English, Irish, German. You know, Donna's got French in hers. And even some Native American. Our kids don't know who and what they are. You kind of shake it up and that's what they are. But you look at the cultures that we live in right now. We look at it, as I said, 1980, 98%. 2010 census, 51% non-white. There are over 100 languages spoken within a 2-mile radius of this location. 100 languages. Where's the world? They've come here. Some of them are living here permanently. Some have come as students, are living here, are here for just a short period of time, then they'll go back to their country. Some of them are here for asylum because of political unrest where they were at. They may or may not go back to where they're going. They don't know. This is the community that we live in right here. But even that's not the same. As I said, I'm leaving for Africa here on August 2nd. On the 3rd, I will be in Burkina Faso. It wasn't that long ago where that would have been a month-long journey in the best of conditions for them to get from here to Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso. And not too much farther beyond that before it would have been months in the best of situations to make that journey. Now I'm going to make that journey in 2 days. Matter of fact, it'll be less than 24 hours from the time I leave JFK Airport till I arrive in Ouagadougou. And I'll spend just about half my time sitting in an airport going like this. And then I'm going to go to Liberia after. I'm going to Ethiopia. So I'm going to Ethiopia, to Ghana, to Liberia, to make that journey all the way across the African continent. Now, if I tried to do that in a car, it would take me months. Probably wouldn't get there. Probably break down or run into a war or something. But now we can jump in a plane and we can bounce right over a lot of this stuff. I'm going to be there in just a day or two. And then we go online. Anybody have access to the internet? Who can you talk to? Everyone. It was absolutely amazing and a blessing when our three boys, Jason, Ryan, and Christopher, were each one in the Army. They were overseas, Germany, Egypt, Afghanistan, Korea. And I get online and chat with them online. Call them on the cell phone. I talked with them more when they were living overseas than I do with Ryan right now. He's living in my own house. So, Pastor, what are you going on with this? The world isn't so far away anymore. It's right here. It's right where we're at. There isn't a single one of us that lives within and only touching one community. We all have access to go cross-cultural. Matter of fact, if you talk to anybody who's not Christian, I dare say you're going cross-cultural. Because Christian is a very different culture than non-Christian. But you're going to a different people group. Somebody who maybe doesn't look like you in the mirror. Somebody who doesn't necessarily speak the same language you do, the first language. Or food tastes might be a little bit different than yours. Taste and dress. Well, if there's one that's just culturally changes from age. You know, I just don't get why people wear their pants down here, but some people do. What does it mean? I can't go talk to them? No, I can talk to them. Do I need to make them dress like me before I can have a conversation about God? No. And that's what we here at Northbrook have to realize, that the world has come to us and they're all around us, and opportunities to talk with them and to share the gospel with them are every day. So we talked about prayer being how we access the Holy Spirit and how we get our direction from God on a daily basis. That infilling and direction so that we have the strength to do it, because if we try to do it in our own strength, it's not going to happen. We talked about all nations and what that looked like and how everybody is all nations. Now today, missions. And as these three come together, you see, this is what Northbrook has to do and who we have to be, because this is what the church was created for, to do missions. If Northbrook doesn't do missions, then we don't have a reason to exist. Now, taking care of the body is good. Instructing everybody in how to follow the Lord's commands. This is how we're supposed to do that. But the command that He gave was to take the gospel to the whole world, was to love even our enemies. And if we withhold that most valuable gift which we have, which God has given us to give to them, are we loving them? The answer is no. So missions is what the church is about. It is what Northbrook is about. It's why we're here. And it's something that we need to look at in everything that we do, in every aspect of how we do church. Are we incorporating missions? Now, missions is not just jamming tracks. It can and is packing boxes of food. It's praying for those who are out in the field and praying for those who you have had personal contact with. Or maybe somebody who you've never had personal contact with, but somebody else has told you, please pray for this. It's about giving of the gifts that God has given us. He says, here, now this is what I want you to do with it. And we say, oh no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do my way. He says, oh, you failed the test. I asked you to obey me and to follow me, and now you're not doing it. So God gives us direction. And He's told us to do. Our job is to be obedient. How can we teach somebody else to be obedient if we're not obedient? Again, that's what this making disciples is. Teach them to obey all I have instructed you. Before we can teach others to be obedient, don't we need to be obedient? That all do as I say, not as I do, doesn't really work so good, does it? Parents who have children who swear and misbehave. I have said, well, if you don't want them to behave that way, then don't model that behavior. Now, my parents weren't perfect. My mother will testify to that. But they didn't yell and scream at each other in front of us children. Neither did they use foul language. Guess what? We didn't yell and scream. We weren't allowed to yell and scream at each other. Now, not to say our brothers and sisters didn't do so from time to time, but we were punished if we did so. Usually made, you know, one example was my mother made my sister Elizabeth and I sit and stare at each other. We had to sit across from each other and just look at each other for an hour. Then we started giggling because we were fighting so much. You know. We couldn't even do that. But that was exactly what she wanted. Missions cannot be something that's tacked on or included if time and space allow. It must be an integral part of who and what we are. Missions has to be to all nations. We just can't. Because the command is, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And missions can only be empowered through prayer and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Prayer is how we talk to God. How can I know what God's will is if I'm not talking to Him? How can I receive what He has for me if I won't listen to Him? I can't. Neither can you. So these are all combined. As Northbrook Church, which is us, as we look at what moving forward, we are going to be looking at prayer, all nations, and missions. And over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to talk about specifics of how we're going to do these things. So get ready for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Your Word, You've shown us what it is we're to do. You do speak to us there. But Lord, we don't always listen. Might we indeed listen to Your Word this day? Father, we pray that we would be a church that does go to all nations with the gospel. That as we go through life, each day, as this church as a body goes through its life, that we would incorporate missions in everything that we do. That missions would look like Your love. That missions would be at the heart and core of who we are, because it is at the base of why You created the church. So that the whole world might hear Your gospel message. That all might have the opportunity to receive it. For You so loved the world, You came to die on the cross, Lord Jesus, so that we might be restored to You. But if we don't share that good news, then we are not behaving in a loving fashion to those around us. So help us to do so. Help us to be a church that missions is not something that we think about in second, third place or tack on if we have time or if it fits. But Lord, might it be that which we build around, because it's the purpose that You made us, to share the love of Christ with all who we meet. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close, and we will be singing.
Thank You, Lord.